Namaste, my name is Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. Welcome to the Highest Self Podcast. If it is your first time listening, welcome. If you've been a day one-er, what up, boo? Welcome back. And this is part two, which really isn't a part two, but just a kind of continuation of the epic conversation that I was having with Heather of Activation Vibration. So this is like one of those conversations that you just transport to another dimension because you're so in the zone. Like, I can't even tell you what we talked about. We just went there. We talked about it all. We talk about her story, the obstacles she overcame, connecting to your shadow, connecting to your light side, transmuting fear to light, ascension, spiritual wisdom, all of it. And what I love about just organic and dynamic conversations like this is there's no point. Right? I feel like we live in such a society that it's like, well, where is it going to get to? And if we just go with the flow, it will take you to so many deeper places than you could have ever planned for. And this is one of those conversations that you're just going to be listening to this and you're going to be like, whoa, like I'm in this vortex with you guys. You're going to be nerding out with us on all the spiritual wisdom. If you're very new to spiritual stuff, welcome. Start here. Why not? Spirit brought you here. And if you're all into it, you're just going to be like, nodding along with us. And I'd love to hear your opinion too. So without further ado, let's welcome back Heather of Activation Vibration to the Highest Self Podcast. And before we get started, check out these brands that make Highest Self Podcast possible. I'd love to introduce you to the tea brand I've been loving recently, Vadam Teas. The tea starts in the mountains of the Himalayas and within hours of harvest are packed at their tea facility and shipped all around the world. I'm personally indulging in their Master Tea Assorted Pack, which contains 15 loose leaf blends, black, oolong, green, and white. They pack their teas in single serve premium pyramid tea bags so you can have the convenience of loose leaf tea anywhere. Not just this, but they've managed to eliminate all middlemen from the sourcing process, thereby retaining all earnings in the source region for the farmers. These teas are fair trade, organic, and pesticide free, and they benefit the farmers directly, which I deeply care about. Additionally, every time you pick up a pack of Vadam teas, a part of the revenue goes towards educating the tea growers' children, which makes it all even more worthwhile. Oprah just listed it as one of her top favorite things, so I take Oprah's word for it. If you want to try this out, head over to VadamTeas.com, VadamTeas.com, and use coupon code Sahara for 20% off. Again, head over to VadamTeas.com and use coupon code Sahara for 20% off. I am sure you've heard of CBD oil, but have you heard of full-spectrum hemp oil? See, there are many cannabinoid compounds found in hemp. CBD and THC are the most well-known, but there are many others, each with varying effects. And this is when full-spectrum hemp oil gets involved. See, having all beneficial cannabinoids at your fingertips is like being on a team where all the teammates bring in their own unique skill set, producing what is called the entourage effect. So I'm really excited to share with you Verita's Farms. They offer a full spectrum hemp oil that promotes overall wellness, reduces your stress level, and helps you get more complete rest. Their pure hemp cream also really helped ease my sore, achy muscles after my recent elbow surgery and is great for dry skin. Head over to veritasfarms.com, V-E-R-I-T-A-S farms.com, and use code Sahara for 15% off. Again, head over to veritasfarms.com and use code Sahara for 15% off. So do you know, like, it's Pleiadian, it's Arcturian, it's Sirian? Do you have that, or is it just sort of, again, a knowing?
At first, it was a knowing, but as I've been getting more familiar with their energies, I can actually decipher what energy it's coming through. So for the most part, it's been mainly Arcturian, and then a lot of Pleiadian as well, but more recently, Sirian has come through.
Mm. Can you explain to us the differences?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I will see different colors per different energy. So the Arcturians usually come in as like purplish, pink, more like pastel-y type of blues as well. Pleiadian is more like very blue, lighter blues, indigo blues. And then Sirian is more of like a darker blue. They've all pretty much been
and
blue
are
so
their
far.
Messages different?
Yeah, the way that they approach me is often different. The Arcturians will, so Arcturians have literally appeared while I've been lying in bed, like, you know, not on any medicine, completely sober, not asleep, like actually just laying in bed. And I observe that the Arcturians will not come to me physically. They'll just stand around me and they use energy to heal me and ignite me from like almost like a distance. They do more.
Do you
like,
see their faces?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someone told me I have an Arcturian face.
Mm.
And
yeah,
I looked
kind
it
of
up.
Actually do.
Well, they said it kind of has like almond shaped eyes.
I was just going to say it's the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel very Arcturian actually.
And it's like older knowledge.
I was
yeah.
going to say they're like the most advanced species of the galaxy. Mm-hmm. So in other terms, that could be like the highest dimensional beings,
mm-hmm.
but there is no hierarchy. It's just, different dimensions. Like 3D is not worse than 5D. It's mm-hmm. just different.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just serves a different purpose and holds a different energy. So like, you know, some people can get caught up saying, well, I'm channeling seventh dimensional Arcturian energies. Like you're just at the fifth dimension. And it's like, okay, bruh, like that's not how it works. It's actually just all love. That's the purpose.
Yeah.
So yeah, Arcturians came to me first and they were helping me heal my body and raise my personal frequency and raise my personal consciousness, like helping me on a very individual scale. And the Pleiadians, when they started coming in, I started seeing them. I wouldn't see them when I would sleep or when I was laying down. The Arcturians would come in when I'm like meditating or chilling or like laying in my living room. The Pleiadians would come in like when I'm driving and like different times throughout my day when I'm like in action.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually channel information to me about my mission and purpose and things to share.
Because aren't they very
people.
Human? Like most
they're
humans
human.
Are Pleiadian.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're human hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
So they look like humans.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a soul essence of the Pleiadian energy that it looks to me like energy, a form of energy, mm-hmm. as opposed to like an actual being. And that's like the Pleiadian energy. Whereas like the Arcturians actually appear in form to me.
Okay. And then what about the Sirian?
The Sirians haven't necessarily revealed themselves to me yet, at least that I am aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly in the sky or possibly just like upon passing and I'm just like, oh, it's just a spirit or oh, it's just an angel. But the reason why I'm aware that they've been connecting with me more recently is because of the information that's been coming through. I've had a lot of people come through saying like, oh, you're very Sirian, or oh, I heard this about Sirius, or this, or like people will get me like crystals from Sirius or card decks from Sirius, and just like that energy is like coming to me without me like going out and searching for it. It's like they're coming to me. So it's almost like they're preparing me essentially for contact with them.
Mm-hmm. I know Phil Feelgood mm-hmm. is very connected to Sirius. Yes.
Yeah, they're a more masculine energy. Arcturian
yes.
is feminine. Pleiadian mm-hmm. is feminine as well. I also connect with Blue Avians and they're more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Sirius feels very masculine to me and a little bit more like heady and a little bit more like Vata, essentially,
mm-hmm.
where Pleiadian's very like Pitta
mm-hmm.
and Arcturian is very, I'd say, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I'm feeling like the Sirian energy is very like when you think of channeling, it's very like,
yes.
they're here. Like,
yes.
like, do you see people are like, the portals are open between these dates and these times? Like, do you get that information too?
Yeah, I don't get the information as like dates, mm-hmm. but I will feel it.
Okay.
I will literally feel it and sometimes see it, these portals opening like above my body and like energy just like rushing through my body. So, when it happens, it's usually like the time of, and then I'll usually like share something like portals are open now, like instant manifestation, like be super aware of your triggers. Don't fall back into old patterns, like the portals are open. And essentially when those times happen, the different energies that come through, they serve different purposes, but often it's to shift something. So when there's a lot of photonic light that's actually infiltrating Earth, there's more energy available. And so when there's more energy available, we're able to shift our mind, bodies, and souls much more efficiently and more instantly.
Mm.
So sometimes manifestation will be easier during those times.
Interesting.
Sometimes healing old wounds.
Is it related to the moon cycles or anything, or it's just kind of random?
I would love to be more versed on that. I think that it is definitely connected to the moon. I think it's connected to honestly everything, but I'm not necessarily sure what triggers these like photonic waves of light astrologically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because I see people saying, oh, on like 8808, it's like lions think. And I'm like, well, this is a made up calendar. So why is it related to that? You know, that's why I'm always like skeptical of that. But I see a lot of people resonating with it. So I'm always curious.
Yeah, the numbers. So numbers hold energies. So even though the calendar in which we're going by is like the Gregorian calendar, and it's not like the actual calendar, because we've implemented it for so long, there are imprinted energies in these dates. And because numbers hold imprinted energies as well, on these specific dates, it's almost like Earth has arranged itself to utilize these times when the numbers all align and everyone is in alignment with where that calendar day is, so that portals can open.
I love that. And I get this question all the time, so I would love for your perspective on it. What does it mean when people are seeing number sequences?
In my observation, what it's meant for me, it's the connection to the higher realms. So numbers are the universal language. It is the language that is spoken through all different cultures and realities, and it doesn't change. And even just their symbols hold such energetic significance in them, like 1111, like it literally looks like gates. So 1111 is often the one that most people see when they're just beginning their spiritual awakening. And it's kind of like you're walking through the gates of this higher consciousness. And because it's so significant when we see numbers repetitively, it's kind of like a pattern interruption where it's just like, oh, I'm noticing that. Like, yes, I'm driving my car and going to the same place I go to every day, but I'm seeing that number right now. So it's like bringing you back into your conscious awareness. And because numbers hold significant energies, different patterns serve different meanings. So like 444 can mean abundance.
I see 444 a lot.
Amazing. Good.
Hell yeah.
You in alignment, girl. Yeah, you call it in that abundance.
Yeah.
Like 555 is like the Christ consciousness. It's like, so you can kind of like geek out on your own.
Never see that one. It's okay. Maybe one day.
Well, yeah, you know, when it's taught.
Yeah. Like, hey,
if it was wild and I wasn't seeing it too, so.
Yeah, it's so funny. I never see 555.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw 555 coming here.
Of course, because you're Jesus. Yeah.
I love it. We love it. We serve. That's the best part too, is like we all have different tools and we all show up to this space with different tools, with different abilities, with different experiences. Because if we were all the same as society desires for us to be, all the same and all like doing the same things and thinking the same things, then we show up at the end with only like one tool. But no.
There would be no gifts if we're all exactly the same.
Exactly.
But I love how 1111, you see that as a gate. It's like, welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like you have begun the path. Like you are walking.
And I think it's just like, they're just like, okay, we're listening.
Yes.
We're sending you a sign back.
Yes.
And
yes,
sometimes
confirmation.
I hear a lot of like healers be like, well, ask your guides for a sign. And whenever I ask, they don't show me anything. Like I go to the beach all the time. I'm like, send me dolphins. And they never send me dolphins. And then like the one time I'm just like, you know, working on my mystical being book and I look at the beach and there's 10 dolphins.
Right.
When I don't ask for it because I'm just being in alignment.
Yep. That's part of that energy when you're like emitting energy, even when we're taught in the laws of manifestation.
Yes.
When you are emitting such an intense energy, it restricts and limits that space for it to actually occur.
For sure.
Because it's like, I'm going to see the dolphins at this time right now in this space in which I'm looking. Mm-hmm. Like literally dolphins could be like, you know, 50 feet out of your perception. Like they literally could be there. And your guides are like, the dolphins are there. The dolphins, I sent you the dolphins. But then when you're like not desiring it, then of course, then they appear in your perception.
Yes. I think a lot of people, and it's kind of sad because it's like, you want the sign so badly.
Right.
You want the confirmation. You want to believe so badly. Right. And then that desperation is what is withholding you from it.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to just like release attachment to getting it. Cause like, yeah, I think that that is something that has really helped to serve me is like, I'm super devoted and like super committed to being a human on earth right now. And like, utilizing this temporary time that I have in this form here on this earth plane as well as possible. But at the same time, like I really don't have attachment to anything like that's happening. Like at the end of the day, like being in connection to the higher realms and actually knowing like what exists beyond this, like allows me to not have attachment to like this. And some could say like, oh, well then you're not grounded. No, actually I'm like more present because I don't have attachment to this experience being one certain way.
So when you say you don't have attachment, can you explain more like what that looks like?
Yeah. So like in a sense, when you're like desiring to manifest something and you're thinking about it and you know, you're going through all the steps, like you're imagining it in your reality, then you're feeling it through your body, then you're getting excited about it. The number one, like the key to the manifestation is after that, releasing attachment. So like literally just like releasing any like need for it to actually be from your body, where like it can just be an exhale and then just being like, huh, I'm really actually okay if that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. I'm really okay if it doesn't happen. Like it doesn't need to happen. Just having trust, like whatever it needs to happen is going to happen. And like ultimately just having that trust that like it all works out. Like the divine plan happens. It occurs. It really, really does. And not like needing to be some certain way and thing and create some certain thing in order for it to happen. Like it happens no matter what. And just like trusting that you are a divine expression of source along your journey and you are being guided divinely and you are embodying your purpose essentially if you were just present and just not resisting and just like allowing.
Mm, so beautiful. Yeah, I think a lot of us, I think we're afraid that like, okay, well, I need to have my game plan.
Right.
You know, I need to have like, this is where I want my life to go. And we love it. We vision board, we this, we that. But then that's creating an expectation that we can become attached to and then keeping us from it. So it's like, it's a really hard thing to really want something, partnership, abundance, whatever, but to not be like so afraid of not getting it. Because that desperation, I just see so many people hold on to it. And it's like, you're never going to get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Restricts them. Yeah. It's hard to explain in words, but it really is just a feeling where like at the end of the day, it's just like, huh, cool. Like, okay.
Like, and I think that can only come from you realizing like the higher perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
cause when you're so stuck in the game, all you can think about
is
winning
the game.
It's
the tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the tunnel vision. Like, oh, this is a game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah, you're so set on winning the game, but higher perspective, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
And you are just an aspect of that essentially right now. So just like trusting and just like, instead of like needing and holding on to this like one particular thing happening, more so like desiring it and then like being fully satisfied with like just even entertaining the idea of it happening, like in that part of manifestation where you're like feeling it through your body, allowing yourself to be fully satisfied at that moment. Like it's as if it happened. Mm-hmm. It's as if it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then releasing it entirely and then going on to the higher perspective of being like, if it doesn't happen, that's okay. And I am still me at the end of the day.
Mm. Yes. When I was, before I met my fiance, I remember I drew like a piece of paper. I'm like, my God, man, my ideal guy. We do this together on the weekends and he looks like this and like all the things about him. I went to this deep meditation. I communicated with him and the message I got back was, don't look for me. I'll find you when the time is right. You just focus on having fun. So I started going to music festivals and eventually I found him on Bumble when I wasn't even looking for someone. But I remember in that meditation, I was like, I just want this guy, like my God, man, I don't want to waste my time with that. Even if I'm 75 years old, like I'm just going to wait until then. It doesn't have to be now, but I just want to find him eventually. And I think that unknowingly, I didn't know what law of attraction was at that time, but just that being like, this is the bar I'm setting it at. It's on your timeline.
Right.
That's what it happened in a month.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was like, tomorrow, next week, I'm putting on my high heels and I'm going to go find him.
By February 2020, I must have my man.
Yes.
It's like, that's very limiting because you were actually going to have him next month.
Right.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think it's like our human mind wants that so bad. Like it wants to be able to predict things and know, and it gives us comfort to be like, it's happening, but also like, is everyone meant to be with a partner? Who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Like, is everyone meant to live the life that they want?
No. Yeah. Because there's also the play of karma and other lives that we've lived. And everyone's serving such a unique and divine purpose in this life that it's not like everyone reaches 5D consciousness and we all live in love and bliss. Like, for some people, they're actually going to have to cycle out of this incarnation and then perhaps come back and then be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps, you know, stay in the fourth dimension and be an angel, or perhaps not come back and be a cosmic soul.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And when you say fourth dimension, I want for people to know the fourth dimension is like the tube that you move through into the fifth dimension.
Yes. Yeah. The astral realm, essentially. That's like where the dream state happens. So it's like the last realm of duality where you can still like experience bliss and die. And it is like that middle ground in between, essentially. So like, even when people pass, I've actually had people who have transitioned, my clients, loved ones, or siblings come to me during sessions, not even meaning to channel. I didn't know that I could channel them, but I was just having a session with a client. And for example, her sister came through and she showed me where she was at. And she was still, because she was still doing work here on Earth, she didn't leave the fourth dimension. She stayed in the astral realm, which is how she was connecting to her sister through dreams and was still working out some of her own personal soul's karma before actually transitioning. And she didn't necessarily know. So she didn't tell me where she would graduate and transition to, essentially. But having connection from other beings in higher dimensions, I'm imagining that it is like the angelic realm, or it is like the, I wouldn't say the fifth dimension, because that is actually going to be implemented here and it's more of a conscious awareness, but like a different space, essentially.
So people that communicate to us through dreams, do you think that they're all in the fourth dimension?
I believe that, as you said, it's kind of like the bridge between the realms. I think, yeah, for sure, because I've experienced higher dimensional contact through my dreams. And I know many people who do experience angelic or extraterrestrial contact through their dreams. So I don't believe that they're all in the fourth dimension, but they just communicate through the fourth dimension, because we as humans are able to tap into that space when our consciousness is asleep and our subconscious is aware and open.
Yes. I think dreams are like massive, such a massive thing. And it just stores so much stuff, so much in this life alone. I mean, it's a lot. And then all of the other stuff. So I feel like dream awareness is going to be like a major thing moving forward and looking into that and what that represents. Vata dreams are very flying, fleeing, moving fast. Like, I used to always have dreams of being like, I'd be in my house and all these pirates would come and I'd start running. And this reoccurring dream is like my whole life. And so it's Vata imbalance. It's me running away, fleeing.
Wow. That's from your mermaid life.
Oh, for sure. Pirates. Always pirates coming after me.
They wanted to capture you.
Yes.
And like,
and it's always like I'm at home and people trying to get into my space.
Wow. Yeah. You hold this gold, you hold this like wealth of information that like is your soul. And so it's interesting. Yeah. I feel like it's been even a theme in past lives where
people
have wanted to kind of like extract that from you.
Definitely. And attracting like stalkerish, clingy people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Pitta dreams are very action, problem solving. A lot of them are very real life. Like they like will be like, how am I going to have this conversation with someone, or how am I going to do this? And think it's so problem solving. It's very just like right here.
Yeah.
And then Kapha dreams are either no dreams at all. just very deep sleep, mm-hmm. which is so much earth, or it's like very sensual, like you're having sex, you're eating chocolate, like you're in the sun, just enjoying. Mm. I'm like, I need more coffee dreams.
Yeah, wow, call it a day.
How do I get some of those? Yeah. So yeah, I think our dreams are super interesting, and even like mm-hmm. bad dreams too.
Yes.
I got a lot of bad dreams, but they're like messages.
Yes, always. Yeah. And that is essentially like another aspect of the shadow. Like even people fear having bad dreams or fear doing medicines because they don't want to experience something traumatic, but yeah. it's like everything is derived within you. So obviously if that shadow is coming out when your other guards are down, AKA when you're sleeping or doing medicine, and the shadow is coming to the forefront, it's trying to speak to you.
Yes.
It's trying to get your attention. And it's probably doing the same thing just in other ways of your waking life
yeah.
that are conflicting and like inconvenient. And it being expressed through like your normal life. But if you do the medicine or if you have the dreams, then the shadow is able to fully express itself. And then if you take the time to actually acknowledge it, and rather than just like, I don't ever want to have that dream again, I'm not even talking about it, rather than being like that, being like, oh, okay, this happened because of this. Maybe this is connected to this. Wow. Okay. Going forward, I need to stop doing this. Mm-hmm. If you like take it as a message, then it will no longer haunt you.
Absolutely. And that's all that this stuff is. It's like everything is showing up for you. And yes. like, what do you want to learn from it? And
yes.
definitely a lot of people are afraid of plant medicine mm-hmm. because if they're scared, bad things will show up.
Right.
And they probably will.
Right. Yep. And if you're scared that they will, then you for sure need them to.
Yeah.
And it's like the faster that you deal with them and like the deeper you allow yourself to go, the lighter your entire life will become.
Mm-hmm.
Your entire being will become.
Yes. I remember the first time that I did mushrooms in Bali, it was in a kind of ceremony space. And I remember like feeling like I didn't want to let go. I didn't want to let go of my ego. And I felt like, okay, I'm either going to be fighting this or I have to give in. And it was almost like, okay, are you really ready to see yourself? And then I was just like, yes, just show me everything. Mm. And then I started to experience orgasmic waves going up through my body, like
wow.
full body, like orgasms.
Yep.
And I remember thinking that I was being really loud because it was like, felt like full on screaming orgasms. Mm. And
that's also a message, like I'm too much because of me.
Too much, yeah. And I was so embarrassed because I could still feel that I was like in a circle with humans around me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was, but I couldn't control these mm-hmm. orgasms. Mm-hmm. So I was like putting my like face in like the soil and like the dirt. And I was like trying to like choke, like just make myself quiet.
Yeah.
But they just kept coming through. And then, you know, seeing all the lights and the sacred geometry and just like really mm-hmm. going through everything. Then after I like asked my friends that were there, I'm like, was I like having really loud orgasms? They were like, no, you were like,
oh my God, wait, like,
here's me thinking I'm like a Pantene Provine goddess. Like, oh yeah. And I'm like,
yes. Hilarious. Oh my God. Yeah. Perfect example of like perception as well. Like that which you are perceiving may not be what everyone else is perceiving. So it's like, just do you.
Totally.
Like, just do you.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that it was almost like I had to get into like, I thought I was going to go to a really dark place and then I was like, just take me. And it was like, it was orgasms on the other side.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Yeah. I've actually heard a few clients say the same thing where they were like, I got to that point where it was like surrender. And I was so scared because I didn't want to surrender to the darkness. I didn't want to. But once they actually did surrender, they realized, oh wait, it's actually heaven.
Yeah.
That's where I was taken.
Yes.
It was like through the birth canal. That was the darkness. It's just like that tunnel to get to
yes.
the light. And essentially
ooh, I love that.
That is what doing all this shadow work is. Right. And like going through our darkness, it's to get to the other side. And like going through that birth canal, like it's tight and uncomfortable and you don't know what the fuck is happening. Mm-hmm. And you're like being pushed through and you can't really breathe. But then whew, once you're out, it's a whole new world. You're liberated. You're free.
Mm, so beautiful. So what tool has been massive for you for helping you go through this?
Tool. I think like full self-acceptance, like allowing myself to fully be like as weird and crazy and like as I need to be and not trying to like shape myself to experience it in any one way. Like literally just accepting myself no matter what. Like the ups and the downs, the weird and the bad. Like it's actually really funny. Like one of my like, I believe that we like always are going to have like some type of something that we're working through. And perhaps when we reach 5D, actually we don't. And that's what's been predicted. And so, you know, holding that in my third eye sight, but again, no attachment to it. Like it's all good either way. Like I could keep going through these shadows, but the one that I've been going through recently is like that last little debris of ego that like feels like I should look a certain way to continue to be credible in sharing this information. Because the shit that I'm bringing through is pretty far out. So there's like an aspect of me that still wants to appear credible so that it's received by people and that I'm not just like some crazy hippie. So I was at the grocery store and I was wearing sweatpants and my hair was crazy and I wasn't wearing makeup. And, you know, I had one of my like eccentric scarves and like literally just me, like just like me.
Me on a daily basis.
Yeah, yep. Literally me on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I like put in the wrong code for my card and the lady like immediately took my card from my hand and was like, I'm going to have to see your ID and see if this is really your card. And I was like, oh. Like I was like, I laughed at first and like soul was slightly insulted and like gave her my ID and I didn't really get it at first. And she's like, oh, it is yours. And I was like, whoa. And so I like really like, I like smiled at her and just like kind of like laughed and like made it really like casual because ultimately it's hilarious. Like, yeah, girl, like this for sure, my card, like I'm buying something for $5. So after laughing and just like releasing any like energy of it being insulting or like I took a look at myself and I was like, huh, I do look pretty like disheveled and like, you know, I could appear as like a crazy hippie or gypsy to someone and that's okay. Like there was an aspect of me that was like, oh, like I don't want that to be a thing. Like I don't want to like experience that where people think I can't afford something for $5. But then I was like, nah, it's okay. Because if she took the time to actually look at me in my eyes, because I was looking at her in her eyes and she literally couldn't even look at me in the eyes. Like it was too deep of a connection. But if she took like literally 3 seconds to actually look at me in my eyes and then I could speak to her like two sentences, she would be like, oh, whoa, who slash what is this girl? So it doesn't matter how I look. It does not matter how I look. And just allowing myself like, huh, I totally am that crazy hippie gypsy to some people. And that's okay.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought this up. It's something that, you know, I think about sometimes because when I got very into my spiritual awakening, 2012, I went super hippie gypsy. Yeah. Like I was always wearing like, I had my own clothing line called Saraswati Couture, which was like these like baggy Indian pants and crazy scarves and crazy hair. And, you know, I looked like a spiritual person, quote unquote, you know, and I felt like I needed to. You know? And then I kind of was like, I don't need to. And I also like looking, anything could be cute, but I like looking presentable. And then I was realizing really the reason why I was dressing like that was again to like fit into another frame, another viewpoint. Like if you go to, like we were talking about Encinitas or in Ubud Bali or these things, everyone is again dressing exactly the same, like those like flared pants and like the shirts with the long sleeves. And like, what if we just wore like black?
Right.
Just like didn't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And just like allowed self to be and then like shined our soul even more.
Yeah.
Because of that. Like, yeah, you're not going to tell by my scarf that I'm spiritual, but if you sit with me for 30 seconds, you will know.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like it's like that undercover of just like, we can be anywhere. You don't have to be a spiritual person, look, dress, like do your eye makeup, whatever it is, like a quote unquote spiritual person. Like you can wear a suit, you can wear a sweatsuit, whatever you want to wear.
Yes.
I also noticed that I really, especially last year and the year before, only wanted to wear white. I felt like I needed to wear white, anything besides white, loose clothes. And then I realized it was like, I was kind of turning into like, like, you know, those like Indian, like Guruji figures. Mm-hmm. And I was stepping away from my sensuality and my femininity because mm-hmm. I only wanted to wear white, loose clothes. And I didn't want to wear anything that was like tight because it didn't feel comfortable. But yeah, it was stepping away from my sensuality. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, oh, well, what is it like? How can I dress like sexy and cute? The things that I started running away from the spiritual journey with that same perspective.
Yes, that is beautiful. And just knowing that in every phase, we do show up differently and we do actually need to channel different energies for different times. So the second that you feel like, huh, okay, I've been doing this for quite some time, I don't think it really resonates anymore. You know, we graduate things and we evolve from them.
For sure.
And then we also come back to them. And then we take little aspects of those and then we integrate them into the new.
For sure.
Like, that's essentially what it is. It's like full self-acceptance, no matter what. And knowing, again, that there is no one way to be. And there actually isn't a path that you should be following. Like, the path to enlightenment is your own paved path. And it doesn't look any certain way. Like, it's whatever you're doing, wherever you at, however you're showing up, right here, right now. Where's your presence?
So true. So good. And yeah, then yeah, again, oh my God, 444. I just look up and it's 444. The abundance train.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just, even abundance is a really big thing. Like, I had a huge thing, like, money makes you evil and money is bad and blah, blah, blah. And like, look, my dad was obsessed with money and he wasn't spiritual. Therefore all people, blah, blah, blah. And I was just creating these stories, and it's like, spirituality and consciousness is never going to be the mainstream if we keep creating these rules and dualities around it.
Right.
Because then look, we're all going to wear only Indian sweatpants,
right,
and be broke.
Right.
Because that's what they want us,
right,
to remain as.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, not shutting out people just because they do a certain thing.
Yes.
Or this is a certain theme in their life. Like, just knowing that actually everyone is on a spiritual path right now.
Yeah.
And some are aware of it and some are not aware of it. And so the ones that are not aware of it are most likely receiving extra resistance in their life. So we actually just have to like hold an even bigger mirror for them and just show more love to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then just continue along our path and not like say, oh, you're doing this, so you're only this far along.
I'm all about choosing everything on and in my body with intention. And if you're a Highest Self podcast listener, then you do too. And this includes my jewelry. I came across this beautiful handmade jewelry company, Star Animal Sundays, that offers 12 different animal spirit guides to choose from. The gazelle, the fox, the cat, the hound, the blue whale, the polar bear, the eagle, the swan, the doe, the horse, the firefly, and the elephant. I chose the elephant because to me, it represents staying peaceful and serene throughout my day. Every time I look at it, I'm reminded to embody my inner elephant. There are 6 styles you can choose from, including charms, bracelets, necklaces, and bangles. Each charm is blessed by a shaman, clearing the charm of any previous energy and to prepare the charm for a positive connection with your animal. They also donate 10% of net sales to the Nature Conservancy, which promotes conservation and helps protect the habitats of these animals. Visit staranimalsundays.com for a 10% off discount using code Sahara. Again, visit Star Animal Sundays for a 10% off discount using code Sahara. Are you interested in having a career focused on health and wellness? Well, if so, then the universe is calling you to become a holistic health coach. I am offering this incredible deal, a discount of $1,500 off my alma mater, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, which is the world's largest nutrition school with guest teachers such as Deepak Chopra, Chris Carr, Dr. Hyman, and Dr. Andrew Whale, and so many others. It is split between 6 months of health coaching programs teaching you hundreds of nutritional theories, including Ayurveda, as well as 6 months of business coaching. And as an additional bonus, I am offering a webinar where I will teach you how to use social media to create a thriving career as a health coach. On top of that, I have created a private Facebook community just for the Highest Self podcast listeners who are becoming health coaches to connect with each other, meet up with each other, and support one another on this journey. So if you're interested, send an email over to Sahara, S-A-H-A-R-A, at eatfeelfresh.com with subject IIN. Again, Sahara at eatfeelfresh.com with subject IIN. And I will personally send you back the email that will allow you to get a $1,500 off discount, as well as my business coaching webinar and the private Facebook group. I'm so excited for you to begin your journey as a health coach. So how is it for you? I get this question a lot. They're like, no one around me, none of my friends are on the spiritual journey. Do you still have friends that aren't spiritual, or do you just sort of not really have that energetic capacity for it?
I definitely do have people in my life that are not open to this spiritual conscious awareness, at least on their own time. But when I'm with them, I don't even necessarily like mean to, but I'll just exist still in my conscious awareness. Like, I never shift my consciousness to meet anyone.
That's important.
Like, ever. I will hold this space and then hold space for them as well, and just like hold it in front of them. So like, if they're complaining about this and they only want to talk about sports and this, like, then I will like authentically see how that is in connection to
something
else.
Why does your inner child want to win?
Exactly. Yes.
They're like, shut up, I'm watching the game.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And it's like, well, do you want to play? Like, maybe we should go play. Like,
yeah.
Just like starting to implement more conscious things to my unconscious friends or family. Mm. But I do notice that as I'm continuing to raise my personal frequency, those who are desiring and choosing to reside in a lower frequency and just entertain lower egoic things, I observe that we are resonating less and less, and really just like our realities are shifting away from each other. Mm-hmm. And then of course there are the people who I am observing to be toxic in my life or parasitical, and those I will openly just be like, hey, I'm noticing like a really unhealthy energetic exchange between us. You know, it's this on my part from my perspective, it's this on your part. So I feel like we should have some space for each other, like maybe see you along the journey.
And so you just say it up front like that?
Oh, up front. Fully, 100%.
And how does that other person take it?
Often really, really well. Usually really well, because I'm also coming from a heart frequency, so they can feel that. Like, I'm like genuinely being like, hey, like, I love you and I'm super grateful for all you've served in my life, but when you do this, I feel super drained. Like, actually, I'm feeling it in my body right now. So I do have to explore this. I have to honor this. And I think I need space from you. And just being like super authentic and open, like, nothing's wrong with you. Like, I still have love for you and appreciate you. But yeah, it's not healthy right now. So this is where we're going to go.
So good. Yeah, I'm at this place. Like, I'm like, my time is so limited that I'm only going to spend time with people who raise me up.
Yep.
So I don't have any friends in my life that are like not totally here.
Yep.
But I know a lot of people, I don't know, maybe they have like stronger connections that they feel like they can't let go. But I'm like, if it's not working for both of us, it's not working.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I really, really, really resonate with that.
Yeah.
And for the most part, those who are not at this space that are still in my life are like my neighbors or like, you know, people who are placed
exactly
in my life.
There's nothing you can do. And then it's like, okay.
Right. Yep. Like, okay.
How are we gonna make this work?
How do I bring this in? Like, okay, just bring it in light. I'm just going to sit here in light. And like, often it was actually funny, even last night, like talking to my neighbor, like super quote unquote unconscious. And like, I just kept holding his space, just bringing it back to light. You know, like he really wanted to just be in the depths of just like this and like blacking out and like just all this stuff. And it was just like, all right, I'm just going to keep bringing it to light and I'll just hold it here. Like, and you know, there'll be resistance of course, but like, again, like no attachment, like not going into it like I need to turn this unconscious person conscious within this next conversation.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I used to find myself doing that. I'd be like, well, don't you see this and this and that? And it's like, it's their journey.
Right. Right. And just like, oh, if there's an opportunity to shine light, like here's the light, but like no attachment to if you want to see it or not. Like, I'm just going to keep holding it and be it. And then that's also a test for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's your personal work is like
patience. That's been a big one for me. It's like, how can I be more patient when I come across these people that that it's someone that I have to have in my life, but they are definitely in the shadows.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, I just got to be more of love and more of patience while not correcting them.
Yeah. allowing them and just like holding the light. Like, hey, this is what it looks like for me.
Yeah.
I'm here.
And then just realizing it's like, sometimes you can't fuck with people's karma.
Right.
That's their journey to learn. And you trying to interject and be like, well, don't you know about blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's like you just took them to the top of this building, but you didn't give them the ladder. And then they're like, oh shit, now I'm here and I don't know what to do.
Right.
And then they just drop down and then they blame you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just like honoring it. And just like, if they're ready to receive, then, you know, give them what they're ready to receive. If you feel called, if it resonates with you, and if not, just let them be. And again, that's where like the no attachment comes in. Just like the divine plan does happen, but it's based on free will. So everyone has their own free will, their own ability to choose how they exist and experience this individual expression. And if they do make it to that space.
Yeah, it's so true. It's something like I personally, it's like I see like family members that really need help. Like they really are not in a good place. And I'm like, I'll give like Tony Robbins status speeches. I'm like this. And then I just see nothing happens. And I'm like, okay, I just like wasted my own energy and nothing happened. That it's like the detachment of like, they're going to figure out in their time, and you just shining your light and you sharing what you're doing for yourself is enough for them to decide if they want to follow that path or not. But yeah, I think a lot of us, especially when you care about someone so much, a sibling, a parent, you're like, you want to do the intervention and be like, we're changing everything. And I think that I don't know, I've never done an intervention for someone. Maybe that could work if that person is
ready,
open and says, yes, I want an intervention. But if they're like, no, I don't want any of this, then that's force.
Yeah. And you end up depleting yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then it's like, both are at that low vibration, and then that is not holding anything. Like, best advice for like igniting consciousness within others, be it. Just be it. And even when they're like throwing shit at you, just be it continuously. Give them the tools by showing them the example. Like, this is what it looks like to be here.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard because they can figure out exactly where your wounds are, you know, always. Oh, and then they can say things, and then you want to get all like political on them and this and that. And it's hard. I mean, I'm sure most of us are in situations and have people in our lives that are not there. And it's like, ugh, like, why don't you just see it and get it? But
That's the greatest test.
Like,
how committed to really being this light are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's like more stepping in. I think of like that Dalai Lama energy. He's just fucking laughing.
Yeah.
He's like, it's all good. He's not going to get in an argument with you.
Right.
I'm like, I need that.
Yes. Just like the full contentment and just like, laughing is the highest vibration. So I'm going to just stay here. Yeah.
And have nothing. And even anyone that triggers you, even if it's someone who's operating from fear and racism and whatever it is, it's something you're creating from your own consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't like to take that responsibility, but yes. And if it's in your field, like just to think of like how many people are on earth, how many moments there are on earth, how many places there are on earth. Like there's so many like denominators that like have to be compiled into the formula for you to just experience presence with someone.
Yeah.
Experience just one event. Like it's so divine.
Yes.
Just like knowing all that has to occur in order for you to experience whatever it is that you're experiencing in that moment. Like it's so divine. You called it in.
It's so true. Like my dad, he doesn't eat healthy. He's overweight, diabetes, all the self-inflicted things, stress, etc. And I've tried so many times to help him, but he doesn't want it. He says he'd actually rather die than eat healthy food.
Wow.
Like straight up.
I know those. I have a couple of those. Yeah.
And then I was in this quantum hypnosis healing hypnosis thing. And I was thinking just like, how can I make my dad healthier? Like, what can I do? And she was just like, you can't. There's nothing you can do. And it's not your job to. Mm-hmm. That's his job to. Yeah. And you just need to focus on your own path and your own journey. And I was like, okay, I'm really just going to let go of this need for me to like be a good daughter and like help heal him.
Wow.
And then I leave and I get a text from my brother saying that my dad wants to lose like 10 pounds by my wedding, and like a little chart that he made with like, he had been like weighing himself every day.
Oh, like, my
10 pounds is like definitely needs to lose a lot more, but like just on his own.
Wow.
And I'm like, there it is.
There it is. Yeah. Yep. You got to just release like it happening in any one way.
Yeah.
Yeah. a lot of people, they need to like feel like they came up with the idea themselves.
They need
too.
To. So they need resistance. To. It needs to be their own experience.
Yeah.
On the flip side, this can get dark, but you're Scorpio, so you're ready for it. People who go through bad, dark situations. Like mm-hmm. I was just thinking that actor who was like harassed and tortured in a subway. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
He was like in some TV show and he's a black and gay actor. And some, I don't know who they were, but in a Subway sandwich shop, they like tortured him for this reason.
Wow.
I think he's alive. I'm not sure. How could this happen? How could he, someone who is of the light, how can he be attracting such negativity? And in so many situations.
Yeah. So often we will attract dark situations like that, not necessarily from our immediate vibration that we are emitting, but something that has been embedded from a soul contract, or perhaps from karma from earlier on in life, or even from a past life. Always, and so hearing that, one may think, well, I don't deserve it because I've been so good this whole time. But it's necessary to propel them into the next step along their journey. Like, as shitty as it sounds, but to be honest, like, I've had some shitty things happen for me. So, like, I'm not just coming from a space where I've been super privileged and, like you're all just creating it. Like, no. Like, for me to take responsibility for what has happened to me and saying, yes, it's happening for me, I've had to do some like deep shadow work to even like be able to perceive that. But so like for something like that, it may have occurred because something else needed to be worked out immediately that maybe couldn't have been presented in a positive way. Like the shift that needed to occur for the evolution of that being for the next step, for their next phase, it needed, unfortunately, to occur in a traumatic, dramatic way where it did inflict pain. And, you know, we have this perception of pain that it's such a bad thing, but actually pain, just like pleasure, is a luxury. To be able to feel, to be able to exist in form and have bodies and vessels that we're actively like fueling and taking care of and experiencing through and feeling these feelings tangibly through, it's a gift. Like, pain is actually a gift. It's a luxury. And the deeper we allow ourselves to feel pain, the more depth we have to feel bliss. And it really actually works that way. Like, it really, really does. Allowing yourself to fully feel the pain and being okay with it. Not thinking like, oh, I'm doing something wrong, or I'm out of alignment, or my life sucks because I'm experiencing pain, but actually just being like, whoa, this is a really intense teacher right now, and being okay with it just expressing and being as painful or sad or dramatic or traumatic as it needs to be. Not like trying to have control or like project some like structure around how we're receiving these things, but instead, like, all we have immediate control over is our reaction. So like, all right, how am I going to alchemize this?
It's so true. And even just in asking you that question, what came up from my guides said that some people have contracts to teach the collective.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to be that martyr.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like literally the conversation I was having with my sister last night. Like, she actually asked me, she's like, okay, I know that I'm cosmic. I know I'm here to serve a purpose, like, but I'm doing so much for so many people. Why are these things still happening to me? And it was literally like, it's because this is a part of your mission. Mm-hmm. You are strong enough to experience these things and be able to come out the other side and to be able to translate them. Many other people are not as strong as you are, and that's just where you're at. So also knowing like the things that happen to us, just being able to look at it from a different perspective, like, wow, okay, I previously planned to be strong enough to be able to take this. Like, okay, all right, I'm a lot doper than I realized. Like, mm-hmm. okay. And just like trying to shift your perspective a little bit and change the whole situation. Like, redefining even traumatic events, redefining sadness. You know, it doesn't mean that things are bad or like they're wrong even. Like, obviously things are not okay. Like, things shouldn't be done that are like low vibrational, like inflicting pain on others. obviously. But when we are not able to control when it does happen to us and instead literally just thinking, okay, this did happen for me. All right, I must be super strong. Okay, well, I must have a really good purpose for this. Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, just like releasing attachment and just flowing, trusting the divine plan. Like, all right, I'm going to see where this takes me.
It's so true, you know, and it's something that's so sad, and in no way does anyone deserve anything bad happening to them. Like in no way, like we're all beautiful light beings. And I don't believe personally that there's any evil. I just believe it's further away from the light. Like, I don't believe that there's like this devil that's like infiltrating us. Right. It's just further away from the light. But yeah, I see that sometimes these things that feel painful happen. And sometimes like, you're that person, that Rosa Parks, that had to be kicked off the bus so you could stand up loud and speak. You have to be that Nelson Mandela. And they took a painful opportunity that had happened to many, many people, and they chose, with perhaps backing of their guides, to turn this into an example.
Yes.
And I think we all have that opportunity.
Yes.
Like, this can't happen anymore.
Right.
The Me Too movement, this can't happen anymore.
Right.
Instead of sitting into the victimhood.
Right. Shifting it.
Yeah.
And you better believe your soul is being rewarded for putting in that work.
Absolutely.
Like, you better believe.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like whenever something's happening to me, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a new thing I'm going to teach people about.
Yep. Yes.
It's another
skill. Exactly. How can I alchemize this? Okay. How can I create this into art? Mm-hmm. How do I add this piece to my masterpiece? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. I know that Abraham Hicks was on Oprah, and Oprah asked, she's like, well, what about people like me who have been raped? Mm. And Abraham Hicks said a similar thing, that in some way it was created in your subconscious or in a past life or something. And they never played that episode. They brought it straight to YouTube, but they never aired it. And Oprah was like, trust me, I get it. I know, but it's too far for the general American public to hear.
Whoa.
You know, to take responsibility for something like that. It's not responsibility, but it's like to see it in that grander scale.
Right.
It's so painful.
Right.
That it's so hard to.
Right. And it's crazy because like the pain comes from liberation.
Yeah.
Because you're ultimately like liberating yourself from having to identify with being a victim and not being in control of where you go from here. Mm-hmm. So it's like literally like fear of like, oh, wow. Well, then like I am the creator. I'm the ultimate creator. Like there's just no way. No. Like, yeah.
It's amazing. I think we're all like living in these, we're all in the same world, but it's totally different worlds. Like it's totally different dimensions. It's like this channel that's
absolutely
like constantly changing. And it's just like depending on us.
Yes.
So we think it's like, oh, we're all experiencing the same thing. And it's like, we might see the same colors the same way,
right,
let alone feel the same emotions and the same everything. Like it's so individual and forever changing.
Yep. It's like the same TV, different channels.
Different channels. Yeah. And you get to decide based off of how you want to feel.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is freaking dope.
Yeah. And we have the opportunity to continuously shift into higher timelines.
So do you think we can remain so high vibe that we won't experience pain anymore?
We experience pain in a different way. In a different way. Personally, I've actually always, even being a Scorpio and like growing up, I've always been really connected to being okay with the darkness. Like I'm like the person in the movies where it's like you hear the noise in the haunted house and like I'm like, oh, I gotta go check that out.
Like, oh God. I'm like, get me out of here.
Yeah. I'm like literally that weird person where it's like, oh, I gotta go figure out what this is.
Yeah, that's the Scorpio in you.
Yeah. So I've actually like, pain has always been something that I've almost like, that I haven't feared, like that I've almost been okay with. Like the way that I perceive pain is like a really beautiful thing. When I feel physical pain, I literally will just stop everything. And rather than like allowing my emotions to get triggered immediately and just like having an emotional reaction to pain, I'll take breaths and I'll actually breathe into it.
Oh, go into it, exactly.
Like, literally like send the breath there and be like, whoa, what does that feel like?
Yeah.
And then like, as I'm breathing, allowing the pain to even like expand itself, but not necessarily get bigger or spread, but expand so that I can dissect really where it came from and how it's moving and just get to know it better and really like feel into it. And so actually since doing that, I've been doing that since I was younger. I have like a crazy high pain tolerance. Like I'm talking about crazy, like.
Like did your tattoos hurt?
Not at all. Like wow. Literally like.
I was looking at them like that must really hurt.
Like literally they actually, when I'm getting tattooed, like all the dudes, they're like, you know, like 280 pound buff, like tatted, like gangsters. They always come in laughing at how I literally don't flinch at all the tattoos. Like I'll have to like, my skin will have to burn and I'll smell it before hearing it.
Oh my God.
It's like that. But I think that it's because of my acceptance of pain. So I literally perceive pain as like on the same type of scale as any other emotion where it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's really not. It actually teaches me so much and it helps me release so much, even more so than a lot of other emotions that people cling on to and really desire. And
it's a much faster teacher.
It is. Yeah. So just kind of like redefining that. So I don't think that we can transcend the ability to necessarily feel pain, but we just shift how we feel it.
And I think different people have, again, the different contracts, like your soul chose to be born as the Scorpio to love the pain, to experience the painful things, to not be afraid of pain. Like that clearly, I don't know how you've died in past lives, but definitely pain has been
painful.
Involved.
Painful. Yeah. I've like experienced my own past life regressions, you know, not medicine induced, just like fell into like trances and died with many of my past lives. Actually, like I experienced their death, and talking to other people who also experience like past life regressions, that's not very common. I've heard other people experiencing that too, but I think that there's an aspect of like when I experienced their death with them, I was able to return part of my soul that was with them back to me in this life, essentially. So yeah, like, again, like experience a past life regression where you die. Many people may be like, oh my God, and just freak out and just like have this emotional reaction and not actually extract the message that was being communicated. But when it was happening, I was like wide-eyed and like, oh, what's happening? Oh, whoa, this blood. Whoa, this is mine. Whoa, this is my body. Whoa. And then was able to actually receive the information and integrate the aspects that were desiring to be revealed to me into my being.
I just did an 8-hour long past life regression and hypnosis this past week.
Wow.
And I died twice. And, but it's interesting because neither of, well, one of my deaths was I was homeless and I died of alcoholism, but I didn't feel pain. I just felt more empty.
Yeah.
Like I'm dead and no one notices here on the side of the street. They just think I'm asleep and just my soul rising and being like, oh, like don't want to go back there again.
To that life. Yeah.
And then the next one I was in ancient Egypt and there was like, some sort of illness going by and I'm like coughing and cold and it was actually me and my partner in that life. And we're just like snuggled against each other, like coughing. And then we just kind of just died peacefully and the soul rose and there wasn't pain involved though. It was very just like, it's time's up here.
Yep. And it's interesting that you say there wasn't pain involved because even when I did the one life that I'm referring to is an African man and I was protecting my tribe and it was ravished by others. And so I was like brutally killed, like stabbed to death. Mm-hmm. And though I was experiencing it, like actually, like I felt like it was my body, though it was obvious that it wasn't my body. I didn't feel pain as I do here. Mm-hmm. It's different.
Yeah.
It's very different. It's more of like anything when you accept it and step into it, it's like, huh. It's not like what my projected mind illusion thought that it was. It's actually far different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, pain on this planet, so all-encompassing. I mean, when you're in pain, physical pain, emotional pain, it's like there's nothing else you can think about. Right. You can't fucking watch a movie. You can't listen to music. It's like some people can scream and cry and get emotional, but then that actually just gets you in a head trip about it.
Right.
Which will make it worse. I did this same thing. I was in a very painful experience and I was just like, just breathe into it, just move through it. And I was feeling the pain that every woman has felt on this planet. Like there's so much collective pain. I mean, just the way that we're born through birth, there's so much just pain in that.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'm like, why do we have to go through such pain for life to be here?
Right.
And that we've all gone through this and it's almost like no one talks about it. Then you're just sanitized and like fix yourself.
Right.
It's like we all come from pain through pain and there's so much collective pain, but it's this unspoken.
Right. It's like, neglected. Like it's the shadow. Like, oh, just don't look at it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, like let's redefine.
Even after birth, like why is there not more support?
Yeah.
That's massive and it's beautiful, massive. But there's trauma.
Yes, absolutely. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Let's redefine it.
We need to. Yeah. I know. I was talking to someone and it was Kino McGregor. She's like a big yogi. And she was saying how after someone dies in your family, just like you have like pre-birthing, like you get 3 months off, postpartum, whatever, they have that for death. They give you like legally time off to just grieve. And I'm like, how beautiful is that to like publicly acknowledge that like, yes, there's pain and you can't like here, if you're like, oh, my dad died. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Back to work.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Love that. Yes. Yeah, we necessary. Need more. And I think.
And accepting it more. Like
accepting.
It's okay to be in pain. Like, and it's okay to feel pain and be encompassed by pain. Because often that's actually what is necessary to experience is to be fully encompassed by pain and be in that tunnel and see absolutely no light, any way out in order to work through it. Mm-hmm. But that's the process. It's like your subconscious will force you to be in that space if you are not properly dealing with the pain and allowing it.
Yes. And I think on the flip side of that, there are a lot of people who have ties to pain. Mm. They look for pain. Mm. They want to keep experiencing it.
Yep.
Life is hard.
Yep.
I learn through pain.
Yep.
Pain
can't identify.
Pain and to gain, whatever those slogans are. And then it's like, what if we switched it to life is super easy and really fun and really flowing and beautiful. And that pain might happen, but you know, you'll get through it.
Exactly. And it's like when the pain happens, like experience it right then and there and then move on.
Yeah.
Release it. Don't identify with it.
Yes. Like,
it happened for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not you. Like, release it. And now look.
Because I see a lot of people addicted to the healing.
We're never
totally healed.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something else.
Yep.
Your childhood, your rebirthing, your something.
What happens next week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, at what point do you decide, like, I'm good? Like there's always going to be layers more, but I'm here to serve and like fully be ready. I think we become, again, addicted to not stepping up.
Yeah.
Like that's actually what it is. It's hiding. It's like, I'm healing. Mm. I'm in this cocoon of healing. So I have no responsibility because I'm still over here.
Right.
It's like,
I'm not qualified yet. Like, no, I'm not there yet. Right.
Like how we actually heal ourselves. A lot of it is to just step up into something that you don't even feel ready for.
Exactly.
And to like, okay, well, I don't have everything figured out, but I have this. I'm 1 foot off the floor. So let me help the people that are 6 inches off the floor.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And just being transparent and authentic in that process.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a process. If we had everyone like out on the other side being like, hey, we're over here. It looks like this. It looks like this when you're out of it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how do I get there?
Exactly.
We need people in
on every,
the process.
Every step. And it's always going to be there. And I think we just think it's like, well, once I'm healed and I'm perfect and I'm talking like Heather, then I'm going to be able to help other people. And it's like, no.
No.
The only reason you talk like Heather is because you've been doing this since you were going through the midst of your pain.
Yes. Yes. And we don't need everyone to talk like Heather. We need you to talk like you because not everyone will be able to receive what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Like we're both tapped into the same source, but it's coming through in
different
vessels.
Ways. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And like the people who don't resonate with me will resonate with you.
Or just resonate
or
with
both.
Neither of us.
Or
like
neither.
We're both bad shit. Yeah. I mean, if they're this knee deep into our episode, hopefully you kind of like us.
Right.
Yeah.
If not, it's all good.
Not they're like rolling our eyes. Like, what are they talking about? These dimensions, but I can't stop listening.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I promise. 10 years from now, they will all know.
They'll know.
I promise.
But yeah, I've seen, you know, a lot of people, especially in a lot of times these spiritual vortexes, that it's like in the healing, their identity becomes healing. Their identity becomes, I'm just trying to survive this. Right. And it's like, you know, a friend of mine, her whole thing is like from survivor to thriver, instead of being like, she had experienced a lot of child molestation in her whole life from her father, which is like unspeakable. But she was saying, I'm not a survivor, I'm a thriver.
Yes.
And to like let go of that, which is so, I mean, like to hear someone like that say that, I was like, yes, that's a possibility for all of us.
Yeah, I really resonate with that.
Yeah. So
like we get to define.
We get to define. Yeah. We get to decide. And it doesn't come overnight.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, a lot more can happen instantaneously than you think. I think a lot of us were so tied to like the time perception of like, okay, well, it's going to take me, the relationship was 5 years long, therefore it should take me about 2 years to get over it or, you know, and it's like, give yourself some time to grieve and some time to heal, but it doesn't need to be forever.
Right.
Like you can actually let go of a lot in a night, like with an ayahuasca or even your own ceremony, than maybe you could in years and years and years of regular therapy. Not to say regular therapy doesn't work. I think regular therapy can be great for people, but letting
go.
There's
so many different faucets. Yeah.
And it's like, for example, the quantum hypnosis healing thing I did, she was like a social worker and she was saying how she does traditional therapy, but she just notices in that 8 hour regression, it does more than what she does for years for people, but not everyone is ready for that. A lot of people, they need to take it step slow. So I think now with this new wave, we're seeing that we can heal ourselves in ways that we never have before. And it doesn't need to take as much time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And because the whole concept of time is becoming less and less relevant anyways.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, speaking of time, I've had you on here for like 12 hours. I don't even know how long. So where can listeners connect with you, watch your videos, do a session with you?
So on Instagram, I share a lot of information at Activation Vibration. On YouTube, it's also two words, Activation Vibration. My name is Heather. You could also look it up that way. I do offer personal channeling sessions, psychic sessions, card readings, past life regressions virtually, as well as I'm not doing as many in-persons now, just going forward, but virtually. My website is holistic.heather.org.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us. Yes. I'm sure my voice is like gone from all our talking, but I'm sure listeners loved it. And thank you for bringing your truth.
Thank you. Yeah. And really, truly thank you for all that you do. And like just so appreciate every way in which you show up and how you express and how authentic and real you are. And it is such an honor to sit in front of you and like feel your energy and frequency. Like I've been feeling it virtually for so long, but to like feel you tangibly, like girl, you the real deal.
Oh, thanks, Boo. I got you. Well, hopefully I'll see you again, Boo.
Yeah, I'll see you. I'll be seeing you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Okay, did this episode have to stop? Because I wanted to keep talking to her forever. And since this episode, we've become super, super close friends. She is definitely one of my spirit sisters from another lifetime. We both realized a lifetime that we had together was we were both in the Battle of Troy. We were both Greek soldiers and were essentially, you know, comrades fighting for this beautiful cause together. And we've also experienced lives as sacred dancers. She came over recently and we just went to the beach and danced to no music. And we were just doing the sacred offering dance to Oshun, the ocean African goddess. And, you know, it's just one of those. It's one of those soulmate connections. So I hope you love her as much as I do. She's an awesome person. Check her out, Activation Vibration on Instagram. And if you loved this episode, I would love if you could leave me a review in the iTunes store. And as a free gift, I will share with you the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type. Simply email a screenshot of your review over to sahara@eatfeelfresh.com. Again, Sahara, S-A-H-A-R-A, @eatfeelfresh.com. And I will send you over the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type. Thank you and namaste.